Apparently, all it takes for a massive, massive turnaround is a group dinner and a meeting with one of the experts. Magic.
That's all you need. That's all you need. One session of couples counseling and all, we're good.
Yeah, right. Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Taro. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Yeah, well, we are those people. We've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts podcast, Married at First Sight, Season 20, Seattle, recap of Episode 8. Be sure to like, subscribe, rate, and leave a review.
And, you know, we haven't set a new goal yet because we're still trying to meet the old goal, which my feelings are hurt. My feelings are hurt.
We'll get there. Hey, hey, don't let it get you down. Don't let it get you down. Stay positive.
It sounded like an 80s movie. Let it get you down. Stay positive. Let it get you down. You'll keep going. Rudy. Yeah. Rudy.
Rudy. Yeah. Stay gold, pony boy. Stay gold.
Let's get started with Caitlin and Devin, man, because when we start off, we see them out paddleboarding. Anything from this whole boring date?
Well, you don't like paddleboarding, apparently. Paddleboarding is fun. I did like how Caitlin says it felt genuine to have her hands and stuff all over Devin at the group dinner, which is Devin's been wanting that, just some type of attention to show that you're interested in me. So she's starting to show some of that. So I think that's great. We're still seeing them on a positive trend in their relationship from last episode.
Some strange reason, I don't believe her, but whatever. I'm going to go ahead and take her at her word this time, okay? next time we see them, they're at cycle class. Here's what I notice. We've seen it all reality TV dating shows. Any cycle instructors, they're usually kind of nutcases.
Well, true, but I had no concerns on Devin being able to handle this workout. Just in being a professional athlete in rugby, it's constant running. I knew he would be fine. It's not like he was a professional bowler. They're not in shape.
Well, I mean, yeah, okay, true. Yeah, okay, true. By the way, everyone's saying you're fine now. Or like somebody said before, you were frozen like Caitlin, or we were frozen like Caitlin. And apparently Caitlin's friends, because Devin does get to meet her friends. And gee whiz, we see that these women do not like men.
Yeah, that was very interesting because her friend was trying to say, hey, well, Caitlin likes to be very independent. She needs her alone time. And she's like, I'm the same way. And her other friend's like, yeah, me too. And I got it. Birds of a feather flock together. Yeah. So all three of you get together and talk about how you need your alone time and don't want to be around your man. Mm-hmm. And they're probably the ones that's like, ugh, well, I got to go home and spend the evening with my husband.
Right.
Awful people. Like, I mean, if their husbands are watching, I'd be so annoyed with that. Maybe it's just a marriage of convenience.
Could be, but then again, it's not okay. Oh, for the life of me now, I'm just drawing a blank because I didn't. Diana Rossini, think about how she used to dog her husband out on national TV all the time, fawning over other men, and just in the stuff she said. Mimi says they get married just to be doing something. Apparently, here's the thing about it too, and maybe that's what they saw growing up, right? Because remember, it was always, you know, the husband and wife didn't really like each other. People did not pose a great picture, inviting picture of marriage before. They'd be like, back to the old ball and chain, right? Remember, that was what was out there before. Yeah. So if they've seen that, that's what they've known. Maybe that's what they feel they need to do in their marriages, right? I mean, not everybody breaks the cycle. And these three, misery loves company, apparently like that. The thing that I think Catherine did ask was, what's your favorite trait of Caitlin? She asked of Devin. And I kind of liked his answer. Did you?
Yeah. I mean, he likes how she, you know, cares about her friends and she's loyal and all that. But did you catch the dig? It's like, yeah, this just shows me that she can put in some effort and do some things for people if she wants to.
Definite dig. And I like the way I like the way he did it. So smooth. It went straight over her head. She didn't even catch it. Right.
Yeah.
the thing is, Caitlin's like, if her friends do not like Devin or they're not supportive, then she'd have to reconsider this whole thing. And when Devin excuses himself from the table, like the producer always makes them do, what'd you think of Catherine's comments about his hair?
Well, I didn't think much of it because that's all she could say. If mm-hmm. the worst thing you can say about Devin is you don't like his hair, mm-hmm. great. That can easily be fixed. But everything else about him is great. And Caitlin should be appreciative. Now, I've never understood the if my friends don't like you, I can't date you. Because I think it depends. Like, do they not like you because you're an asshole? Right. And you were that way in front of them towards her is one thing. But if they just don't, I don't like his hair, don't like how he dresses, so I don't like him. Mm-hmm. I think that's petty.
It is petty. I don't understand. I mean, I get taking advice and listening to other people, but at some point you're going to have to make your own decisions, right? And I say that now, and I know I'm going to change that in about 10, 15 years when the little one's older. And I got to, hey, what did I tell you? Right? However, I remember when my wife was meeting my mom for the first time, she said, well, what if she doesn't like me? I'm like, well, she's not dating you. I am. So.
Right.
And I like you. So we good.
I've always told people, my mom's not going to like you. So don't even try. She's going to find something wrong with you and she'll exploit it. So just accept that and move on.
Well, at least you give a little heads up beforehand, you know? That's a good thing to do. Next couple, Tori and Felipe, having lunch with Felipe's mom and dad. This was a good little get-together, at least mostly, right?
It was a great get-together. I mean, I like the relationship that Felipe has with his parents.
Yes.
And he has a close relationship with his mom, but he doesn't come across like a mama's boy.
Right.
And Felipe's mom really likes Tori. So I just really like this dynamic between his parents and him and Tori.
Monica says it's easy if the family likes you, especially if you get married, right? And that's the thing that we're seeing here with Felipe's family. Here's the thing, too, though. Felipe tells us that everyone he fell in love with in the past was physically past where he and Tori are at the moment. And he is scared he may run. Terrell?
So, I will. I hate you. I hate you. So, episode 7, recap, you made the comment about Felipe thinking that the passion has to do with the sex. And I was arguing, no, it doesn't. He's just thinking long term. Does it fade out? Whatever. Well, I stand corrected. You were right. Felipe is worried about the sex piece because he's not getting any from Tori. And he's used to having a lot of that physical affection. You happy? Are you happy now?
I am, except, you know, I don't know whether it's you pulling on your internet cord, just trying to make it freeze and go away. So you're telling me I'm right, just kind of slowed down and it was like transforming. You know, I do like how Felipe asked his dad, though, how do you stay focused and not let your mind wander?
I like his dad's answer because his dad is saying that, hey, you know, pretty much you're always going to see things, but this person knows you. Mm-hmm. This is someone you can depend on and they can depend on you. That was way better than just finding the next shiny thing, mm-hmm. you know? So hopefully Felipe listens. And I like how, well, I don't like this when he said, well, I'm just going to try to be monogamous. I'm like, did you just say try to be monogamous?
Okay. To be fair, he did say he has to be aware or he may fuck up. Is that a red flag, orange flag, or yellow flag?
Well, it's a red flag because he's done it before. Uh-huh. His mess up in that one relationship, mm-hmm. you know, was probably him out drinking, hanging out with all the restaurant people and wound up making out with somebody.
Yeah.
He's tempted to easily do that. And Tori doesn't come across like a late night, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, drink, you know, drinking all night on a Tuesday kind of person. So
Which is true. Some to be says Felipe thinks Tori's one of his restaurant young interns. This is a grown woman in a committed relationship. Yeah. Also says Felipe's on a deadline. His fire is going to burn out. He love bombs and then love bores.
Ooh, that's deep.
Because he did seem to kind of love bomb her in the beginning, right? Monica says you make the choice to be monogamous every day. True. Some people don't have a choice, by the way. Just, yeah. Some people have no choice but to be because nobody wants them.
No one else wants.
They ain't got a choice.
You better hold on to her as long as you can.
Chocolate Suda says, Felipe's eyes told me everything. Even when the parents are there gushing over them and Tori's hugging him, you could see, yeah, he does look a little zoned out, like, eh. If you're not going to give me some, then don't hug me.
He hasn't got his medicine. He hasn't got that release. Uh-huh. That's what his issue is.
Chris says, I think he was going to use his mom as an excuse to leave her, and now he can't.
Yeah, because the mom really likes her. Mom told her, look, Felipe can call me 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and same for you. Anything you need, we're going to be there for you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mom is all in on Tori.
Yeah. By the way, Sedan's fans on the other side. So on the flip side, I don't think Tori likes him. Something ain't sitting right in my spirit with these two.
I agree. I don't think really? That she's, yeah, I don't really think that she's into him.
Oh, wow.
Like that. I feel like Tori is going through the motions.
Wow. I would not have thought that. But yeah. Interesting. Interesting. Tell us what you think. Do you think that that's the case too? Do you think maybe she doesn't like them? Drop it in the comments of Replay Gang. Please do that. By the way, thank you for everybody who's in here right now. Please do us a favor. Hit that like button. And by me saying right now, I mean everybody who's watching as part of the live crew and Replay Gang, when you're here at this point, do us a favor. Hit that like button. If you're not subscribed, please subscribe. Hit the bell for notifications.
Shout. And if you really want to support...
You're back on time. That's good.
Am I? Okay. Can I keep going now?
Go ahead.
And if you really want to support the channel, join the regulars by becoming a member. Use the QR, use the shortcut and scan the QR code on the screen. It's less than $3 a month. You'll get custom emojis, early access to random thoughts and RGRT Pod reaction videos, and more, including members-only live streams for story time with Terrell.
Yeah, go check out the last one, episode 6. Tara got a girlfriend. To the Replay Gang, hit that hype button, and to all of our podcast fab listeners on your favorite app, thank you too. Leave us a 5-star rating and a quick review. And if you'd like to support in style, check out the merch store. Scan the QR code above Tara's left shoulder, and thank you in advance for your support. I would leave the word here, but I think I want to leave the word a little bit later. Let's move on first, real quick. To Michelle and Cameron. I got a word for y'all, so stick around. Matter of fact, let us know you've been here so far. Do you think Tori likes Felipe as much as they're trying to make it seem? Or you like Sinan's fans and think it's not as much, right? Michelle and Cameron, they're out there painting ceramic flamingos and mushrooms, and Michelle says it's something she's always wanted to do because she's watching Bob Ross growing up.
She just want to put little happy trees. She's always wanted to do some happy trees right over here.
Michelle brought up something here, which she said, she tells Cameron that she put an emphasis, you know, I'm really worried about living stuff. And, you know, so I put an emphasis with the experts on income. And I told them I want somebody who makes at least $150,000. Mm-hmm. Which I just want to point out, you know, who didn't say that?
Who?
Tori. And y'all say she wants to be a kept woman. She never said that.
Well, we didn't hear her say that.
Oh boy, here you go.
But if they've asked everyone else, why would they ask Nikki and Michelle, but not ask Tori? That made no sense. All of them were asked that.
Hey, Miss Beeper Waters right there with you. Tori doesn't care about that man. She just wants to be taken care of. Meanwhile, High Vibe is right. Michelle said no romance without finance, right? Cameron was a little turned off by this. Or was he a little nervous by this? Because he kind of tells us one thing, but then when we see them later on that night, he seems really kind of in his mind.
See, because I work in HR and in recruiting, I struggle with this issue that Cameron's having. You know how much you make. Mm-hmm. You know where you live. Portland's expensive. Seattle's expensive. you got to be thinking to yourself, I want to get married and have kids, multiple, because he wants to have multiple. You got to think, how much money does it take to be able to have a family of four? Mm-hmm. And what if it's all going to be on me? Now, you could have a partner that's successful. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean it's always going to be me, but you got to factor in, what if it's all going to be on me? How much do I need to make? And if I'm not making that much, great. Now, on the flip side, if what I love about this conversation is Michelle didn't seem like she was turned off by him because he didn't make that, but it was all in his head where he started feeling less than. But I'm like, dude, you know what you signed up for when you were a coach at that JUCO? You signed your contract. You know how much you was making?
Okay, so you're saying if you make less than six figures, you shouldn't have kids? Is that what that's what I'm saying?
Didn't say that. I said, but you got to think about it. If you want to have a family, if you take out student loans to go to Duke because you love their basketball team, to major in education and be a kindergarten teacher, and you're a guy, and you want to have a family, and you would love to have three kids, you got to think to yourself, can I have three kids on my salary, or do I need to make sure I date somebody that has something? Because the odds on a kindergarten teacher being able to have a woman with three kids, that doesn't work. Mm. That's going to be tight.
Well, she's still working, but something to be says his reaction was so childish and showed his insecurity. Her counseling his grown ass was a red flag. Do you agree?
No, I mean, it's just that was his insecurity.
Okay.
And every now, I mean, guys are going to have to go through that, especially if they're dating a woman that works in tech. You know, if you're working in a JUCO, you don't make anywhere near tech people money.
Yeah.
Because tech people make stupid money. I've seen offer letters, stupid money. $225,000 and you're an individual contributor, but you're balda, right? Mm. You're not going to have that, but you can't be intimidated by that. Be strong in who you are.
Red Lipstick Club says, I don't ever want to hear a black woman challenged again when they ask for a six-figure partner. It's not just a six-figure partner. She asked for six figures and she stopped there on the income, right? And I'm not defending her versus the black woman. I'm just saying, but when you say six-figure, 6'5", 225, lean fat, six pack abs. When the description is very, very
$250,000. Yeah, because there's a lot more people that make a six figure income, but the amount of black men that make $250,000 is less than 4% in the world. You're not gonna find it that easily. So that just doesn't make sense. But to say six figures, great.
Yep. By the way, Robin's there with you, says, and health-wise, you never know what may happen married, and what if one may get sick and can't work? I mean, they have what-ifs in everything. What if you walk out to go to work one day and bow, you know, something happens. Yeah, so, I mean, that's always there, but you can't say you can't have kids if he's, okay, I'm going to leave it alone.
Yeah.
So, did you have a problem with her consoling him, though? You're fine with that?
I mean, it was nice. She's trying to let him know that, hey, it's not that big a deal, you know, and I think $150,000 is not too far to ask for, and it's a lot more common in a Seattle and Portland just because of the cost of living. It's a lot more common, you know, but she's not getting it, but she's realizing that there's all these other things about him that's great, that's not that big a deal.
Okay, to be fair, she did get what she asked for, though, because like J-Ro pointed out, Michelle said she wanted a tall man. I almost forgot about that. She got
one,
right? Now,
yeah.
To be fair, since we're talking about the Nikki asked for the same thing she's bringing to the table, she got black.
Well, and he has to make over $200,000. I think he does as an assistant vice principal of a university. Or vice president of a university. I think he's doing fine financially. It's just he's not tall.
Yeah.
Because, you know, she towers over him. Yeah.
By the way, Red Lipstick Club and Marie James, they're teaming up right now. Exactly. What, she's supposed to take a 60K, man? We didn't give a figure. Could have been a 50. But I'm not going to go there. I'm going to leave it alone. that man could make millions if he goes up to the NBA or even the right college. She's at JUCO now. He could elevate from there. And now all of a sudden, she's little bucks.
It's possible. They'd have to move, though, which she's not keen on leaving
that part.
Seattle because they want to have kids and she wants to be around her family. So there's that.
The next thing we do see is them on the couch again. And it's the day before Cameron has to leave to go to Portland because, hey, it's season's coming up. These cats got to get ready.
Coach.
Coach got to coach. This conversation that was happening there, though, I thought it was interesting when Cameron asked, and I thought it was a good question, really. Do you like good morning texts, or does it just irritate you? Great question.
Yeah. Right? Well, yeah. Somebody, is he a grand rising queen kind of guy? Now, but here's the thing is, I get why he asked that. Because he was like, my girlfriend doesn't like good morning texts if all it is good morning. If it's good morning, hope you have a good day. Good morning, looking forward to seeing you tonight. Those are fine. But just to every morning, good morning. That's it. I think people don't like those. And it makes sense to me. There's
good
nothing
morning
to do with that.
Just took a shit. Is that okay?
If that works in your relationship, right. I wouldn't do that. But
just checking. Know, maybe, that's more than one thing.
Maybe y'all a little bit more open about your bowels than I am. But I think it's a fair question because and I didn't realize this, but I learned that some people don't like a good morning text if all it is good morning. And that's it.
Yeah. Lucy B says copy paste good morning text is so annoying. But if you're in a relationship, you're apart for a couple of days, and that's the kind of good morning wouldn't matter.
I don't know. I mean, I like a good morning. Hope you slept well. Hope you have a good day. Whatever. Or hey, good morning. I had a crazy dream about you last night.
You know, it doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter what you say. It matters who's saying it, because somebody could be like, How'd you sleep last night? You're like, God, why you keep asking me that? And then somebody else can say, how'd you sleep last night? You're like, oh, she cares.
If you like the person, you don't mind.
Yes. Yeah. My point exactly.
Yeah.
Did I hear correctly, or did Michelle, did I mishear Michelle saying she texted a guy 25 times in a row without a response?
No, you did hear that. And my thought was, we need some more context, because was this my freshman year of college? I texted a guy 25 times and never got a response. Or was this in the last year that you did that? Because to me, that was a little bit of a yellow flag to see that you've done that. If it's recent, big yellow flag. If it was back in college, let that slide.
Okay, so it's fine if it's in college. She may have grown out of it.
Yeah.
Marissa and Adam, they're going to see Marissa's pad. And why the hell is she nervous about showing Adam a clean place? Can you explain that to me?
I can't explain that, because I figured her house was going to look, what I put in my notes is, adult.
Yeah.
You know, more grown up than Adam's. To me, her place looked welcoming, a place you'd want to hang out. Adam's place to me looked like a, what's the like a boy's treehouse, you know, that you only hang out there a couple times a week. It's not your regular place.
Right.
And she thought that Adam was going to feel her place was underwhelming because his place is a playground. Yeah. Mm-hmm. His place is for his buddies. It's a bachelor pad. Her place looks like a home.
Yeah. It does. Nice and clean. Looks well kept. Something to be says, because Marissa's afraid her place is too adult for Adam, and he's obviously controlling. Mimi says her place is way better than his raggedy ass tent.
Yeah.
And Lucy B says people pleasing and not wanting to trump him. That's a good point.
Yep.
Talking about where they want to live. Adam says he wants to live in his house one more year and then buy a sick house.
Yeah. What I don't like about that is Adam is still thinking like a single person. Mm-hmm. And this comes from somebody who's never been married, but I would think it's not so much, here's what I want us to do. Because that's what it sounds like Adam is saying. I want us to live in my house.
Yeah.
We can jet ski every day for one more year, save up money, and then we'll go get a sick house. Mm-hmm. And the sick house being what I think is sick.
Right.
Not what she thinks is sick.
As long as it allows me to have a jet ski, we're fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is wild. They decided to paint some pictures, which, you know, great activity. Not so great on the actual pictures, right?
See, here's the thing. If you're going to do that, you're going to do a date like that, it's awesome. Mm-hmm. Be mindful of how you paint the picture. Mm-hmm. Certain things you don't want to accentuate.
Yeah.
Or highlight in that painting. So what he did for her, that mouth and the teeth, I was like, dude, why would you do that?
Right.
Why would you?
Yes.
It's true. But why do that?
You said it's true, but why?
I mean, it's true, but it's like, why would you do that?
Next time we see them, Adam is servicing Marissa by giving her a massage. Well, my bad. Adam and Blaze the cat. giving Marissa a massage. The cat is...
Cat is getting there. A little meeting in. Yeah, that's... I'd have been so annoyed with the cat laying there on the bed. Were you giving me a massage? No.
Hey, a cat does what a cat wants, right? What do you think of Adam saying, hey, all right, now go ahead and flip over for your happy ending?
Well, I mean,
sounds like something you would say.
I would, but there wouldn't be a cat and a dog in the bed. But I'm saying that. Like, that's... She's trying to enjoy the massage, but I'm sure she can't because she's seeing this nasty cat. Mm. Especially if she's like me and doesn't like cats. You're just annoyed.
Did you say the nasty cat or the nasty dog? Because the dog was laying. The dog was in the bed. The cats are cleaner than dogs.
Yeah, the dog was fine. The cat's terrible. Cat needs to go.
Dogs are dirtier than cats.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Dogs are more useful than cats. Dogs bring something to the table. Cats don't.
What? A daily walk?
Show me a seeing eye cat. Show me drug sniffing cats. Show me bomb sniffing cats. What are cats doing? Nothing. Eat, sleep, and shit.
Living their best life. That's all cats do.
That's all they do. Dogs let you know they love you, take care of you, protect you.
Okay, what do cats do? Like Little Eva says, if you don't like cats, do you have rats in your house? I know your answer for that, but...
No, because I'm clean as shit. I don't need a cat. Not to say that your place is dirty. All I'm saying is I don't need a cat because there's no rats in my house. This is not the 1800s. I'm not worried about the bubonic plague.
Also, by the way, you got to make sure your cat knows what to do, because if you have one of those bougie cats, they will like, oh, what's that? Like, oh, I got a cat to take care of the little pets if they come through. Nope. Like, what the hell is that? That's not a toy. And Sinan's fan says Adam wanted another kind of cat. Oh, something to be said. She's not getting in a three-way relationship, boy. Yeah. And J-Ro says, by the way, cats have saved people, and I have a dog. He will never be on my bed. Mike says, cats are nasty. They walk around in their poop pens, then track around your house. Cats clean themselves all the time. But I feel
they climb all over your counter. They get in all your stuff, and you're not there.
The point that Chaka Suda is trying to make, though, she's allergic, remember. She did say she would take a pill, her algae pill, for the right person. That's just a lot of algae pills to be taken.
That's a huge commitment. I don't know if I could. I have to love the hell out of you for me to pull something like that off.
That I have to say, that is quite a bit to do, especially if you're allergic. That's the time you'd be like, hey, the fact that they put them together still, knowing she's allergic, all the compromise is on her.
Yeah.
And that's crazy.
Of course. But that's how Adam wants it. She has to compromise for everything for him, because that's it's about Adam. It's the Adam show.
That's true. Hey, do us a favor if you haven't already. Please hit that like button. If you're not subscribed, please subscribe. Hit the bell for notifications. And let us know you made it this far, okay? Let's leave the words happy ending.
Meow. Happy ending.
Let us know you made it this far. Leave it in the live chat and replay game. Make sure you leave it in the comment section. The words happy ending, since that's what Adam was trying to serve up. She didn't give him an answer, though.
Yeah.
She did not give him an answer. Next couple, Belle Jolie and Mecca. They're meeting with Dr. Lisa Paz, right? And I got to ask this question because it happened very early on. Am I reading too much into the way Mecca is looking at Belle Jolie in this clip right here? Just take a look.
You guys, I feel like we're really comfortable. Like, we're literally the same person. It's actually a little scary.
The way he's looking at her, and here's the thing about it. When they go through on the other side, right? And she is she's answering the question, his whole face changes, mm-hmm. and he becomes nice about it.
I don't know. It's hard for me to say if you're reading too much into that, because I've always felt like he looks at her like a homegirl.
Yeah, true.
Not like someone that he can't wait to take her clothes off. So.
But he's the way he was, to me, it was the way he was, thank you or something to be. He looked pissed and sassy. And he, because he's cutting his eyes at her, then all of a sudden when she starts to answer nice about their comfort level, psychopath. And Monica says, I didn't pay that much attention, Yanni.
Yeah. Maybe he's on his period or something. I mean, who knows?
Oh, stop. You would
just saying. No, everybody has a day. Just one of those days.
Okay, Monica. The attraction question comes up, right? And I'm kind of glad Dr. Paz kind of set him straight, said, hey, that was a horrible question.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad. And then he recognized, yeah, I probably shouldn't have said that.
Yeah, but he knew that. Maybe I should just kept it to myself. Or, yes, plain and simple. Mecca tells Dr. Paz that he gives Belle Jolie forehead kisses.
Ooh.
I like how she's like, yeah, I give my kids forehead kisses.
Yeah. Ooh.
You know, it's interesting, this whole conversation, because everything that Dr. Paz is hearing, which she's obviously seen already, it's all on Belle Jolie's side, because Belle Jolie tells Dr. Paz, she told Mecca not to hold back. And she's like, wait, so you gave him the green light?
Yeah. Green light. Mm-hmm. For him to do whatever he needs to do, and nothing. And then Mecca winds up telling us that he thinks he has sexual anxiety because, mm-hmm. you know, you don't know if the person is going to like your performance.
Right.
Which makes me have a lot more questions. With this brother.
When's the last time you've had
anxiety,
sir?
Tell me more about this. What happened?
Right. Sit on somebody's couch and talk it out.
Yeah, or just drink less whiskey. And that's what I hope.
Mimi says, I don't mind forehead kisses, but I get real ones too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fierce fashion, I'm not playing with you. Sedan's fan says, forehead kisses, what are we, 12? And K-Wu says, small P in energy instead of BDE, SPE. Or as Mimi saying, so he's saying it's trash. Is that what it's trash?
Maybe he's not confident in his game, his abilities.
Could be. And by the way, Terrell, Cam wanted to let you know it's called a myriad.
Oh, it's a myriad for the guys. Got it.
The man period.
Okay.
Dr. Paz gives them an assignment, and that night, I'm assuming they didn't wait a couple of days to decide to go ahead and fulfill this assignment. Knowing them, it probably was a couple of days. Belle Jolie tells us she can feel that Mecca's attraction is growing.
She can feel it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. What's that song? I wonder if she can tell I'm hard right now.
Next. Too close.
Next. There you go. Baby, no more crying. Yeah. And kudos to Mecca, breaking out the candles, setting up the scene. And I thought this was nice up until he said, I don't have my robe on anymore, because I thought he was about to say, I don't have any panties on. Like in Boomerang.
Marquez.
Belle Dolly.
By the way, Mike says, this is why black men keep their feelings to themselves, because... because he talked about his sexual anxiety, and we've made jokes about it.
He said it on public TV. That's different. I mean, I've had conversations with someone I'm in a relationship with that I wouldn't want the world to know. But the fact that he said this on national TV to me makes it free game. So don't try to say this is why black men don't know. Most black men wouldn't come on the show and do something this dumb.
And come on with tooth diamonds, black fingernails, and then say that.
And no.
Wait, my bad. Black fingernail and toenail polish and say that. I'm just saying. Do us a favor, please. If you haven't already, please hit that like button. If you're not subscribed, please subscribe. Hit the bell for notifications.
Jones.
Speaking of black men, Sean and his beautiful bride, Nikki. Well, Nikki is there first, beating with Paul, right? And it's all smiles, all good vibes. When Sean gets in there, like, oh, you want some room? I'm like, what the hell is wrong with these two, right? And then Paul goes, all right, well, let's put an end to this crap real quick. So I understand y'all didn't sleep in the same apartment last night.
Mm-hmm.
Did you catch Nikki's face once he said that?
Yeah, got serious.
Yeah.
That RBF kicked in.
That well, natural look came back.
I think the way Nikki came in, to me, and correct me if you think I'm wrong here, I think she went into this little couple session expecting to explain to Paul while Sean's the problem and that Paul's going to agree with her. Because she tried that at the group dinner, tried to make try to get everybody else to say, hey, Sean's the problem. Mm-hmm. And so I think she was coming to do the same. And I think she realized quickly, that's not what Paul's here to do.
Okay, so here's the thing, too. I'm trying to understand why she was mad. Because before Sean walked in, and I'm right there with you. We know what her agenda was. Just like we can see what Sean's agenda is. Both of them came with their own agendas, right? Before Sean walks in, she's like, oh, well, we got a lot for you to go. You know, we had a rough go at it. And as soon as she's about to say something else, in walks Sean, right?
Right.
So why are you mad thinking that Sean, because she tells us, oh, I just knew Sean would try to win this argument. He thinking Sean told Paul that she didn't sleep there. How? You were there first.
Right.
Why are you mad?
Yeah, and of course, the producers told him you didn't sleep there. They filmed it. Mm. So it's not like that happened off camera.
Exactly. did you like Nikki telling Paul that she feels the relationship is bringing out the worst in both of them? It's a very honest statement.
Well, that's how she feels. She's entitled to that feeling. Great. At least it gets the conversation started.
Yeah. No, very true. This is where I think Sean begins his gaslighting, right? Because Paul asked for a rating on how satisfied they are with their marriage. Nikki, honest answer.
Right.
A 2. On a scale of 1 to 10, a 2.
100%. I'd agree with her.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, Sean set a 7.5.
Lies. Because Sean is trying to look like the adult in the room and trying to make, he does this a lot. To where one-on-one with Nikki, he's one way, but then in groups, he's gonna try to come off a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way that you think this is a 7.5 and she thinks it's a 2, especially with everything that we've seen that's happened in these 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man.
Yeah. They get into a whole thing about communication. I think I love the way Paul kind of breaks down how they communicate about their relationship and in their relationship.
Right. Yeah, I like how Paul teed up this conversation as Nikki's starting to go back down the rabbit hole of it's all Sean's fault.
Mm-hmm.
Paul says, hey, let's change that up. Mm-hmm. I want you to say I statements and how you feel.
Right.
So she's like, okay, I feel like I'm not hurt. Duh-duh-duh. Because Sean, when you do this,
attack.
She was ready.
Decepticons, attack.
Yeah. She was ready, and Paul was like, no, go back to the I thing. Because to me, this exercise that Paul did with them, to me, is the first time that we've heard them really communicate and listen to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And we understand why Sean feels like when he's getting cut off and he can't get 50% of his words out, that someone is trying to overpower him. And that's where they were butting heads. I'm like, this makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a great session.
Yeah, it was. I really like how Paul listened and pointed out, because he let them go through Like, I'm going to let you see what you're doing wrong first. He didn't stop them halfway through this. Okay, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Hey, yeah. By the way, here's what you did wrong. And I like how he did that. So Paul did not come to play. Something to be says, I love Paul, but these experts knew this wasn't going to work, and they still paired them for entertainment and embarrassing a black woman. So this is on them.
I mean, I agree. They knew that Nikki was not going to be attracted to Sean. Right. And that's where the problem lies. if Sean was hot, uh-huh, and did a whore bath, uh-huh, however you want me to say it, if he was good looking and did that, would be an issue for Nikki.
I like that masculine funk. Come on over here.
You're right. I don't think we need all that soap either. The media is crazy. That's how they get you. I'm with you. If she was attracted to him, she'd be using less soap too.
Swoop says, I'll give Nikki grace because she was paired with someone she didn't like from the jump, and he's remarkably annoying. She's hitting her limit. There she is. Now, okay, Mike says, I see Nikki and Sean as Sean is trying to be nice to a black woman in public, and Nikki could give two B's how Sean looks.
The way he looks, correct. She couldn't care less because she doesn't like it at all. I don't want to say Sean has an issue with black women. I've seen that on social media. I've not heard him say that, so I can't say that that's what the issue is. Mm-hmm. But I do agree that, you know, they both admit they have big egos and their communication has been a problem. But also, there's no attraction there for Nikki. And I think that's what's unfair about this. I think she'd rather have someone that makes $150,000 that's attractive and tall. Mm-hmm. Compared to somebody that makes what she makes and looks like Sean.
High Vibe says Nikki's annoying too. Monique says, I don't feel like Sean is an angel by any means, but I think Nikki's more of the problem than he is. And she continuously overtalks him, which I absolutely hate in general. I know you noticed that too.
I do. I hate that with passion. So I'm with you.
And to answer your question, Dime Diva says, hey, I'm side-eyeing any ninja taking a whole bath on national TV, good looking or not.
Here's the difference. Mm-hmm. Good looking. If Shamar Moore tried to take a hoe bath, you might start to make out with him and pull him into the shower with you. And rub him down with some soap and make it passionate and sexual. But they look like Sean. No, you're not doing that.
And by the way, a critical thinker says, I think Sean asked for a black wife. So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And CXM says it right. Nikki doesn't like him, so everything will annoy her. That's always the case, isn't it? Somebody that you don't like somebody, whatever they do, breathing will annoy you.
Right.
Right?
I mean, it will. And I keep wondering, like, why are you staying on the show, Nikki? Because she doesn't need the money. Mm-hmm. It's not like she needs this so she can grow her IG followers and stop working for corporate America. She's doing well. I'm just thinking, why not walk away?
Right. Which is what I think. That to Sean would be winning because he tried to get her to walk away. Well, why don't you just leave then? Right? Remember that?
Yeah.
After that dinner. Well, they post counseling, they decide to have dinner, right? Nikki's doing her wife duties and she has dinner and whiskey for Sean. And I'm like, okay, I'll be honest with you. This whole thing seemed like it was for the cameras. Or am I reading this wrong?
I thought it was odd to have this, you know, 180. Happened for what we've been seeing to how this was. And for me, I'd be like, Sean, are you sure you want to drink that whiskey?
Right?
I'd have to pour her some. Hey, let's take a shot together and watch her take a sip before I take one. But
yeah,
I thought it was odd. And then, yes, I feel like this whole dinner talking with each other was very performative on both sides. Like, look, experts, we're trying and we're getting along. Look at you. Hey, you spilled some crumbs on your leg. Let me put your napkin on your way. No.
Oh, stop flirting with me.
Yeah, definitely. You're the boss. Stop flirting with me. I relinquish that power. Yeah, come on.
Sinan's fans says, I like that they give them the option to leave this season. I can't take 8 weeks of this bullshit. Which is probably why they have 7 couples, because if people decide to leave, they lose couples. So there's that too. By the way, Dime Diva points out, hey, I think that was a new bottle. He was
I. I didn't see him open it myself. I don't know. And people can put syringes and shoot through the cork at the top.
the strong needle you got to go through that court.
Don't worry about it. You know, I have my issues. I have my trust issues.
Apparently. Apparently. Tehu says they both need to leave because they're working my nerves. Did you notice that the whiskey, they turned the back so you couldn't see the
front of it? Yes, because I was curious, like, what kind did she get?
Yeah.
I wanted to see the front, but they hid that perfectly.
Yeah.
But I was curious, what kind of whiskey was it?
Yeah, they purposely did that so that they, you know, because they didn't pay for that.
Yeah.
Mike says, I think production explained to Nikki she's looking horrible, so she's going into cover your ass mode. C-Y-A. Could be. Last couple. Oh, this couple, boy. Courtney and Nick. This Keanu Reeves conversation, searching for it on ChatGPT, wild. First of all.
Okay. I get it. I'm a pop culture person, and I don't keep up with everything, but there's certain things I'm aware of.
Right.
Right. And Keanu Reeves is one of those. And she couldn't think of anything that he was in. And then the fact that she went to search on ChatGPT instead of Google Images. And even when she sees the image, she still doesn't recognize him. That says a lot about her. I mean, she's been focused just on lifting weights, being in the gym, and not touching anybody.
Right.
She doesn't watch TV. She doesn't keep up with all that, apparently. She misses commercials and billboards, apparently. Because, I mean, look at The Matrix. Mm-hmm. John Wick.
Yeah.
Just those two things alone.
Yeah.
You should exactly. know Keanu is.
The thing that got me, though, is not even her and the Keanu thing, was Nick saying he's unclear where he stands with Courtney. We all know where you stand.
Yeah. She doesn't like you.
At all. Then Courtney lies and tells Nick that she doesn't want to hurt his feelings.
Yeah. She says she's thankful that he still wants to work through things, which gives him a little bit of hope, dangles that carrot. He's like, oh, she still wants to work through stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Great. And she's like, I don't want to hurt his feelings. And my note was, yeah, but you're going to. Totally going to. You're going to hurt this man.
By the way, keep it simple, please. Says, first it was January 6th, now it's Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
Philly girl says Courtney's just taking up space. And Monique says, we all know Keanu Reeves, and I'm blackety black. She's very weird and lying.
Yeah.
Very true, very true. You know, she says that she has a fear of someone leaving. And then we find out a little more about her past relationships, including her first.
Yeah, consider last serious relationship was 3 years ago. And none of her relationships were like real relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And she's never been in a loving relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I still don't believe any of this.
Right.
I think Nick is someone you're not attracted to because mm-hmm. you only tell the stories about people that you struggled having a connection with. You tell me there's not one person
right.
that you liked kissing and touching.
Mm.
Tell us more about that
story. First guy. Because remember, the one that she was all into him. That was her first love. He was her everything. And that's it's been weird since. Yeah.
He was her first. So she was whipped.
She would let him cheat. Remember?
Yeah.
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 Okay.
But the times he wasn't cheating, he was sleeping with her. Mm-hmm. She liked it.
Uh-huh.
She liked the physical. So, okay, great. There's something about that relationship where you like the physical. Him cheating wasn't the reason that you have this issue with intimacy. Because you had it with him knowing he was sleeping with someone else.
Should they have matched her with Felipe?
Probably be a little bit more her speed.
How would it?
A little bit more her speed. Oh, what happened at the party afterward? It's okay. Y'all just kissed. No big deal.
You know what irked me? They show her working out, right? And producers, I see what y'all did there. Y'all made it look like she struggled to get two pull-ups. But her getting on that pull-up bar, she's too short to get up there.
Right.
Nick just says, you want me to help you up there? Well, I'm not really a gym PDA-er.
He didn't ask to make out with you or touch your nipples. He just said, do you want some help?
Mm-hmm.
That's all he was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was like, well, shit, because she realized she can't get up there without him and there's no stool.
Right.
And it'd be rude for her to go get a stool when he's offering. So she's like, okay, fine. And then as soon as she goes, okay. Okay, don't touch me anymore. Don't touch me anymore. She does not want him to touch her whatsoever.
This is bad, man. By the way, Sedan's fan says her and Felipe would combust. Could be. And Cam says, not with the name Felipe.
Oh, that's true.
That's
see, I get that. Yeah, yeah. Felipe is not going to support her January 6th initiatives.
Dime Diva. Girl, STFU. Oh, my God. Courtney grinds my gears. Mimi, she's insufferable. She is, she's definitely the problem, right? And here's the thing. Because they go to visit family. And I get being a little annoyed with the less boogie comment. If it reminds you of your grandmother. But the holding hands going in, oh, the family's going to make fun? No, they're not.
No, she doesn't want to touch him.
Right.
That's all it is. She does not want to touch him at all. A handhold is nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
Which is crazy. Okay, here's a question for you. After they go into the house, did anybody else see this? As they go outside, you see the outside, they see the dad on the grill. Did you see that dog jump up on the table in the background?
No, I didn't. I saw the dog jumping up at Courtney's butt because she jumped and straddled her sister, Brooke, mm-hmm. and the dog was jumping up at that. I saw that. I didn't see the dog jump on the table.
It was right after that. And it was her back, not her butt. Philly girl says, I saw it. I'm glad I'm not the only one who saw it because that was terrible. You talk about cats all the time. I just want to point out dogs do terrible things too.
Yeah, dogs do if you let them. I would not let a dog in my bed or jump up on my table.
What do you think of Courtney telling her sister to grill Nick?
I thought it was sad because Courtney's trying to find validations for why she doesn't like him outside of the fact that she's not attracted to him. So she's trying to find other things and she wants her sister to grill him. Not so much, hey, really get to know him and tell me what you think. She wants her to try to find some ick, find mm-hmm. something bad about the guy, which to me is just shitty. And then she's like, well, first off, he doesn't like worrying. Mm-hmm. And if we have kids, da da da. So she's expecting, you know, start with that.
Yeah. She's kind of setting up as to what to say, right? But did you notice in this whole conversation, Courtney's still reading from her script, her TV script, and her sister thinks, oh, no, this is an actual conversation that we're having. It's a real conversation. So when Courtney says, you know, I'm a slow burn, she's just like, hey, no, seriously, I am. Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah,
great combo.
You,
go ahead.
You text me. You text me about that. I'm sorry. End scene. Can we do a retake? Can we redo that? Start over. Give it to me again. Go.
Because the way she tried to stay there, I was like, we know that slow burn thing is false. And her sister tried, basically kind of called her out on that too.
Right. She did.
At the dinner table, what did you notice here?
I noticed that Courtney does not know how to pass a knife. I mean, you learn that. Home economics. I mean, at least I worked in the restaurant industry for a long time. You don't pass somebody like you're about to stab them. Like she's a, scream. What's that? She's a scream. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's what she looks like. What's his name? Nick just sees the knife. He's like, whoa, fine. I'll move to Oregon.
But I like that he didn't let that go. That's a crazy way to pass a knife, especially to your mom.
Yeah. Yeah, mom, grab this blade side with your hands.
Oh, my God. Nuts. Then Nick excuses himself to go to the bath. I hate when they do this. Just, hey, you don't have to explain where they went. And which man is going to get up late? I'm going to go to the bathroom and let y'all talk about me real quick. It's always that, right?
Well, what do you think he should say? I'm going to go outside and take a smoke.
Yeah, I'm going to go outside and let y'all talk about me.
Yeah, that's what you would say. All right, I'm going to walk out and give y'all some time to talk about me. Hopefully it's good.
And then the producer will be like, cut. Now, I told you what to say. Bathroom. Now sit your ass back down and let's do this again.
We told you to say you got to go shit. Say the lines.
All right, I got to take the kids to the pool. And you notice this was a weird room because only he left the table. It wasn't like, oh, well, let's the guys go and talk. They're like, no, let's let it be what it is. This seems like Courtney didn't get the response she wanted from the family in this sense.
Correct, because all of them liked him. They're like, oh, the guy's great. You know, we think he'd be great for you, da da da. And I like how Courtney's dad called her out and said, well, you like to nitpick and try to find things wrong. And so, and I think she, even hearing that, she still doesn't agree. So maybe they just don't see it because they're not around him as much as I am. So this is just like a moment in time, snapshot in time that they saw that they think he's great. But they weren't there when he couldn't, you know, do the espresso and pour me a drink.
Kevin, thank you for the super chat and the laugh. He said the chicken was undercooked. He had the shit. Or as Chocolate Suda called it, dropping the Browns off at the Super Bowl. You know what? I get what you did there, but the Browns ain't never going to the Super Bowl.
They go to the toilet bowl. They do go there, but not the Super Bowl.
And taking that from somebody who lived in Cleveland for a little bit. Sedan's fan says the fam knows she is the problem, and she proves it.
Yeah.
Think about the way this episode ended. She's there talking about it. Well, you know, they didn't, they seem to like him, and, you know, well, maybe I'm wrong, and, or maybe because they haven't lived with him, maybe they're wrong then.
Right.
I'm just like, holy crap, this is what it's like to be inside her mind. Shit.
Yeah, that's fun, isn't it? That's a nice little roller coaster.
No. We good. So before we get out of here, a couple comments I saw here that I wanted to get to, because Critical Thinker said, after learning producers cut the double date, I don't trust much of what we're seeing.
The double date?
I mean, how many times do you want to see Nikki and Sean argue? The double date between Nikki and Sean and Belle and Mecca.
Oh, okay. Yeah, nobody wants to see that over and over.
Yeah.
Like, we get it. Y'all don't like each other.
Yeah. We've seen that. By the way, speaking of Nikki, Fierce Fashion said earlier she's paranoid about the way she's coming off. I feel bad for her. I'm sure she's a nice lady.
I don't feel bad for her because she chose her words.
Mm-hmm.
She is too educated, too mature, too professional. She knows how this is going to play out. And she's her real self, I think, is coming out. So I don't feel bad for her. I just think I'm hoping that she watches this back and has an aha moment and changes that, because no 6'5" guy making $250,000 black dude is going to want to put up with that bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Mike, I'm sorry, man. Mike said, damn, Yanni, that's harsh. We need hope here in Cleveland also. I know. But Browns fans had it for me when we played, when y'all played the Niners. So I always got to deliver back. Sorry.
I don't believe that. The Browns, y'all get hope at least every 1 to 2 years. Cause that's when y'all keep changing coaches.
You got the door.
You keep changing head coaches every 1 or 2 years. So yeah, you get new hope all the time.
And you got Shador.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Browns are like Felipe in relationships. Yeah. Browns are like Felipe in relationships.
Y'all going to be, and I'll be honest with you. Actually, and this is why I made a joke about it too, because I want Shador to start. I want him to do well. So I'll be rooting for you guys until y'all play us again. Okay? So, speaking about Nikki, Dime Diva says Nikki's too grown. She is who she is portraying herself to be. This is what I think. Because you kind of know. And you see how quickly she flips back into that mode, right? Yeah. And Philly Girl says, I do not feel bad for Nikki. She's old enough to know what she's doing. So,
yeah. This isn't like some 20-year-olds on Love Island. Like, Nikki is too accomplished. Yeah. She knows exactly what she's doing.
Kat says Nikki got the whiskey hoping Pastor Cal would embarrass himself.
You want a 69? He thought that was gonna come back out. So you can be like, Paul, see?
I told you. I tried to be nice. And High Vibe says Adam was right when he asked Nikki and Sean if they thought about calling it. Agreed?
Agree. I mean, I don't see, I mean, Sean is just trying to stay in it to get Nikki to quit.
Yes.
Or to say he made it all the way to the end.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they make it to the end, they are not going to say yes on decision day. Like, we all know this. There's nothing magical that's going to happen in the next 4 to 5 weeks that all of a sudden they're going to, you know, be on the other side and be this happy couple. Not going to happen.
Second to last thing before we get out of here, Kevin has a note here, and I want to see if you agree. He said the experts this season are way better. Pastor Cal's advice for everything was, well, you're married, have sex. The whole time they met 18 hours ago.
You know what? I agree. I do like the experts. A, I like how involved the experts are, because we'd see weeks of drama before Pastor Callanan would come out, Dr. Pepper.
Right, if they came out.
If they came out at all. And to me, it seems like Dr. Lisa and Paul will call you out. You know, they're not just going to let you give these bullshit answers. Mm-hmm. They're going to call you out when you're trying to BS them. So I love it.
I got a question from Dime Diva and also from Monique asking about Put a Ring on It.
I don't know what that is.
It's an own TV show. Ugh. Basically, it's couples who... they
it's
go
another ready to love, isn't it? It's another ready
it's
to
not
love.
Exactly
isn't it?
Ready to love.
It's on the OWN network. It's another ready to love with a weak cast. As soon as I heard OWN, I was like, ready to love. Same crap.
I need y'all to get in the comments and convince Terrell why we should do Put a Ring on It. You got to convince him. Good luck. Toya says, Put a Ring on It. Looks like a... Okay, I should take this down because I think...
No. Thanks, you, Toya, because I trust Toya. She's been around for a while. I trust Toya. She's going to be honest.
Now, I'll be honest. I don't know what Cheat Hab is, so I've never seen Cheat Hab. But...
Yeah. Cheat Hab and Ghetto Mess was in the same sentence. That's all I need.
Good luck.
I can't do Ghetto Messes. I can't do it.
I love the way this is going. Sedan's fans, don't do it, Terrell. New Jones, do it. Do it. Chocolate Suna, nope.
Thank you. Chocolate Suna's been around. I've known her longer than New Jones, so I'm going to trust her. Nope.
Oh,
it's
man.
It's not
oh.
like the previous seasons. That's what they say about Ready to Love every time. This one's better.
This one's different. Sending the couples on a date with whom they cheated with.
Yeah, why?
See if they still want to do it again.
Yeah.
High Vibe says it will be fun.
For you.
Hey, good luck. Good luck. Jump in the comments below and make sure you convince Terrell. Give him a good reason. Even though Monica's not helping. She says it's worse, Terrell.
Yes.
Marjan, it's not worth the watch.
Thank you. Trust Marjan. Trust Marjan. Went to college together. I trust her. She knows.
Okay. Diamond Diva says, okay. Tell, just go and watch the preview and then decide. And Mimi
says,
that
sounds like a drug dealer.
Try one season.
That's what a drug dealer said. Terrell, just take a hit. See if you like it.
If you don't like it, it's all good.
If you don't like it, no harm, no foul. Now I'm all smacked out watching this crap.
CXM says, if you can watch Love Island, you can watch that. And Mike, you're absolutely right. We do have Love is Blind coming back real soon. Matter of fact, we're 11 days away from Love is Blind. So,
UK.
Yeah, we definitely can't. I don't think we can do Put a Ring on It, Married at First Sight and Love is Blind and Terrell still keep his girlfriend. My wife ain't going nowhere.
Yeah. I still need date nights.
Well, look, you have date nights to do. I got PS5 NCAA to get to. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us. Do us a favor. Please hit that like button if you're not subscribed. Please subscribe. Hit the bell for notifications.
Shows.
Hey, I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell, and at the RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts or some of the bullshit you found on the internet. We may talk about it on the show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.
We've been running this banter since way back in school, where the dorm room debates turn the cool in the rules. Talking loud about the world like we're changing the game, but it's just us two, yeah. Two sides of the same. Pull up a chair for the truth, let it spin. Two regular guys with the world to dive in. We don't need to agree, just let the talk flow. The vibes and the rhythm, the rest we let go. Sports got us heated, yeah, the refs missed the calls. Politics, man, we'll argue till the walls fall. Pop culture don't get us started on trends, but the laughter, my dude, that's where it all ends. You say tomato, I say nah, bro, it's time motto. You think we clashing? Nah, it's the dance of bravado. No winners, no losers, just stories to share. So pass me that bottle and pull up a chair. Pull up a chair for the truth, let it spin. Two regular guys with the word to dive in. We don't need to agree, just let the talk flow. The vibes and the rhythm, the rest we let go. Pull up a chair for the truth, let it spin. Two talk flow, the vibes and the rhythm, the rest we let go. When the convo's done and the bottle runs dry, we'll toast to the clash, to the lows and the highs. Two voices, one friendship, no need to compare. So come as you are and pull up a chair.